More of a Bible lesson for you tonight than it will be a sermon, and I like to do this on Sunday night and Wednesday nights. We get into more teaching than we would on Sunday morning service. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Matthew 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be unto this wicked generation. Now let's go to Luke 11. Let's read the parallel account of this same teaching. Whenever you have a miracle or a parable or an event that's mentioned in more than one of the gospel records, you need to read all of the record. If you find something that's given to you in Matthew and in Mark, then read both places. There's a few things that the Lord records in all four gospels. Of course, obviously, the death, burial, and resurrection. You'll find that in all four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And a few other things. But here we have the Lord giving this in two different Gospels, Luke and in Matthew. Here's what Luke 11 says about it, verse 24. Luke 11, 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. And he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you give us understanding now of this very serious and sobering passage of Scripture, and I pray that we'd have the right interpretation, Lord, confirm in our hearts that we are rightly dividing the Scripture here, and I pray if there's anyone in this house tonight or whoever may listen to this, wherever they may be through our internet, wherever this message may go, I pray, Lord, that along with it would accompany the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is one of the most, at least in my experience, one of the most difficult passages of the Scripture. I've heard many, many different interpretations as to what the Lord's saying here. But just to review with you quickly, the Lord says that there's this man, and the Bible likens this man's body to a house. And this man is possessed of unclean spirits. And the man undergoes sort of a self-reformation, sort of turning over a new leaf, if you will. And the unclean spirit that had possessed that man, that unclean spirit goes out of the man. And the unclean spirit, after he's come out of this man, that unclean spirit looks for another host into whom he can enter and do his work. But when that unclean spirit doesn't find any other suitable habitat, he resolves, the unclean spirit makes up his mind, and the unclean spirit says, let's go back to that first place, that man that we had previously possessed. And they go back to that man, the man's still there. His body has been reformed, and the Bible uses the word swept and garnered. But the Bible said that unclean spirit, before he goes back into that man, he takes seven other spirits with him, and the Lord said that the last state of that man is worse than the first. In other words, that man was worse off after the spirit came back and brought with him seven other unclean spirits. So there's quite a lesson here. The question is, does this relate to a Christian at all? The question is, why is the Lord giving this to his disciples? Whatever else may be said about this, I want you to mark this down, get this in your thinking. The Lord is teaching the need for the principle of replacement. Sometimes we're content with just getting things that displease God out of our life, and that's a wonderful thing. Things in your life that ought not be there, you give those things to the Lord, you, by his power, you resist those things, and you say, I'm doing away with this and this and this. But where some Christians miss it is they do not replace it with something that is good and godly. You see, it's not enough just to say, I'm going to get rid of some things that displease the Lord in my life. you have to also say, I'm going to start doing things that please the Lord. Does everybody see that? You got to have both sides of the coin here. Now, there's an application. Let's just come through it. Go back to Matthew 12. We'll spend most of our time here in this account. What's the Lord teaching here? Well, get the context. First of all, he is speaking primarily to the scribes and the Pharisees. You have to get that, or this is going to be very mysterious to you. If you're back here in Matthew 12, look at verse 38. Matthew 12, verse 38, just a few verses before the passage we read. Notice what the scripture tells us about the audience. Matthew 12, 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. So who is he primarily addressing this passage to? He's not primarily addressing it to his disciples, although they're there and they benefited, I'm sure, from the teaching. But he is directly speaking here to those scribes and the Pharisees. Everybody understand that? That's what you call examining the context. Who is the Lord speaking to here? These Pharisees came to the Lord and they said, Master, show us a sign. The Lord said something to them here that a prosperity preacher wouldn't say to them. The Lord said to them here in verse 39, you're evil and you're adulterous. You won't believe except you see a sign. Now, folks, it's to these people that he is primarily addressing his words down in verse 43, 44, and 45 where we just read. So what about it? Well, let's make a few notations. First of all, what about these unclean spirits? This is just basic Bible study here, and most of you know these things, but the first thing you need to understand about unclean spirits is they must work through a body. That's one thing you find both Old and New Testament. For an unclean spirit to do his work, he must work through a body. An unclean spirit is just that, a spirit. He has no literal physical hands. He has no literal physical feet. So if an unclean spirit is going to do his work in this world, and what is the work of the unclean spirit in this world? It's to oppress God's people and to attempt to thwart God's plan. And when an unclean spirit seeks to do his work, he has to do it through a flesh and blood and bone body. Now, he would prefer, I'm sure, that he'd do his work through a man or a woman. But do you know when the Lord healed that maniac of Gadara, you know, they asked if they had to be cast out of the man. Remember what they said to the Lord? Well, if we have to leave the man, then would you send us into the swine? They just needed to be in some physical body to do their work. Do you know that you don't have to know very much about this world to look around and see truly demon-possessed people in our world? You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see a dramatic spike in demonic activity. Over and over again here in these four Gospels, you see people bringing people that were possessed of the devils. They bring these people to our Lord, and it's a heartbreaking thing. Can you imagine being that father who brought his young son to the Lord, and the father said he's possessed with the devils, and at times they throw him into the fire, and sometimes they throw him in the water. You remember that? Those unclean spirits had gotten in that boy's body, and those unclean spirits tried to kill that boy. That's when the Lord came down and said words to this effect. He said, this kind of spirit here that boy had, that only comes forth but by prayer and fasting. You see, the disciples of the Lord couldn't do anything. Don't believe what you see in Hollywood, folks, about the exorcist and exorcism. Everything I've ever seen in media about demon possession and exorcist, none of it's very biblical whatsoever. The Lord didn't have to spend hours and hours and hours trying to convince the devil to come out of somebody. The Lord didn't have to go through some elaborate ritual. The Lord just looked at them and said, come out. And they left. See, there was power there. But what you have here is you have a man who has been possessed of these unclean spirits. The point I'm making now is there was a tremendous spike in demonic activity at the Lord's first coming. And as we near his second coming, you're seeing that same thing repeat itself. People are just, it seems like they're past feeling. No kind of conscience at all. They're just dead. They're just numb to human suffering. these mass murderers and killers and folks who abuse children, all this sort of thing, seemingly show no remorse whatsoever, no conscience whatsoever. Could it be that a good number of these folks are being possessed and controlled by these unclean spirits? Folks, this is a spiritual battle we're in. Just because you can't see the spirit world doesn't mean it isn't real. In fact, the Bible teaches that those things which you can't see are more real in many ways than those things that you can see. So you have here this man, and he has been possessed of this unclean spirit. Look back at verse 43 again. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. You need to make a distinction here between unclean spirits and fallen angels. Some people lump them all together, and they have the idea that fallen angels are just another term for unclean spirits. That's not the case at all. Unclean spirits are those spirit entities that have never been righteous. The angels, you see, at one time they were righteous, and they did not keep their first estate, as the book of Jude teaches, and so God cast them down. You remember all of this. So you got to remember, there's a hierarchy in the spiritual world. Not all evil spirits and unclean spirits have the same rank or the same power. That's why the Lord said, as I just quoted to you about that boy that was possessed of that unclean spirit, he said, the Lord said, this kind here, it only goes out but prayer and fasting. In other words, it must have been a stronger, much stronger unclean spirit. And so the first lesson here is, demons and unclean spirits must work through a body. Now, what if you're a Christian? Are you vulnerable to demon possession? I don't believe you are. I believe the Bible teaches if you're born again, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. But brother, I do believe this. I believe a Christian can be demon oppressed. Although he can't be demon possessed, I believe he can be demon oppressed. I believe that the unclean spirits can bring upon a Christian oppression. Maybe you've been under that at certain times. I know that from what the Lord said about Peter. And I quote this a lot, but the Lord, folks, called Peter Satan on one occasion. You see, the Lord knew who was influencing Peter's words, and the Lord rebuked and went right to the cause of it. So it might be well for us when we pray to say, Lord, don't let me be used as a tool to do the devil's work. Although you can't be demon-possessed if you're a child of God, although the blood of Christ has been applied and you've got the Holy Spirit living within, do you know if you're not careful, you can be used of the devil to do the devil's work? Maybe we ought to pray that way more than what we do. Lord, don't let my hands, don't let my lips, don't let my eyes, my feet be used to discourage someone or to bring dishonor to the Lord. I want to give myself to the service of the Lord. So these demons have to work through a body. Something else about these unclean spirits, they vary in their power. You see Matthew 12 here, look at verse 45. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits. See the next phrase? More wicked. So there are different varying degrees of the spiritual power of these unclean spirits. Now that's the basic teaching. And what about the application? First of all, make note of this. We're coming through here, and we'll go to Luke 11 in just a minute. But the first thing you need to get a hold of is you come to a lost man. He has no defenses against the devil whatsoever. In fact, his father is the devil. Jesus said to the Pharisees on one occasion, you are of your father, the devil. Now, what about this? And this fella here, folks, that we're talking about, he's a tragic figure in Scripture. Let's read again what the Bible says about him. Verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, we don't know the man's name, we don't know his occupation, we don't know anything about him, but we know that this man was possessed of this unclean spirit. And for reasons the Lord doesn't tell us, the day came when these unclean spirits left the man. And the unclean spirit, from what we can read here, was looking obviously for a new host, if you want to say it that way. But the unclean spirit, as this verse says, he goes out and doesn't find any rest. The unclean spirit, see there in verse 43, he walketh through dry places. Do you see that? I don't know what it is, but there seems to be a connection between demonic unclean spirits and water. That's one of the things I said, that the demons, the unclean spirits, that daddy said that often those unclean spirits tried to cast his son into the water. Remember that? Where was it those swine went when the unclean spirits were cast out of the man into the swine? Didn't they go straight for the water? Everybody awake here? Now listen, I know you're smelling the donuts and the coffee. I smell it coming through the wall here. But folks, I don't have it all figured out, but I tell you something, there seems to be a connection between unclean spirits and water. You see them associated together. And here, when this unclean spirit comes out looking for another host, the Bible said he goes through dry places. In other words, he doesn't find anywhere suitable. So he goes back to his former host. And that's that poor, tragic figure of a man. But when this spirit goes back to the man, he finds something's happened to the house. And the Bible, when it speaks of the house here, see verse 44, "Then he saith, I will return into my house." That's the unclean spirit talking. And the house here in verse 44 is the man's body. That unclean spirit says, "I'm going to go back to my house from whence I came." Do you know the Lord desires to dwell in a house as well? If you're saved, the Lord dwells within you. Paul said that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You remember that? And just as the Lord dwells in the body of believers, unclean spirits can dwell in the body of those who are unbelievers. So you see, that's what's happened here. And this man, while this demon's cast out of him, something happens to that man. The Bible said that the house was empty and swept and garnished. That word garnished, we don't use a lot anymore in our vocabulary, but it has the idea of pleasantries. Not only did the man clean up his house, so to speak, but he decorated a little bit. If you garnish something, you know what you're doing to it? If you garnish something, you're trying to add to its cosmetic appeal. You see these magazines in the stores while you're ready to check out, and these Good Housekeeping or Southern Cooking, whatever, these magazines. You got a beautiful plate of fried chicken there on the cover, and all these little parsley flakes and perfectly arranged asparagus tips around the chicken. You don't care about those things, do you, fellas? But see, that appeals to the ladies. They garnish that. Amen? You fellas ever been looking at those things and think, "My, that looks like a wonderful piece of parsley"? You're not thinking about that. Those things are just to garnish it, sort of give it visual appeal. So this man, get this, folks, this man had obviously undergone some type of reformation, turning over some kind of leaf. Around this time of the year, you hear people talking like that, you know, "My New Year's resolution, I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm gonna really do better this year." The truth is, all of your efforts to do better will amount to nothing unless those things are being done through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man's home was swept. In other words, his house was swept. He had been cleaning some things up in his life, but that didn't keep that unclean spirit from coming back in. And in fact, that unclean spirit came in, as we read here, with other spirits who were even more wicked. And the end of that man was worse than his beginning. So that's how this passage applies to the lost man, folks. And a lost man without the Holy Spirit of God living within him is vulnerable to the devil, to these unclean spirits. He absolutely has no power to resist them. But let's get to what concerns you and me. Tonight, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not need to lose any sleep worrying that you might be possessed of an unclean spirit. You don't need to worry about that. The Holy Spirit's living within you. What you ought to do is be vigilant, and you ought to pray God give you strength that you couldn't be used of the devil, or that you wouldn't be oppressed of the devil. You can pray that way. But you don't have to worry about being as this man here was, that was possessed of these unclean spirits. But what about the saved man? Here's my heart in giving it to you tonight. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. This principle applies to Christians. And again, I'm just making applications here from this passage. Galatians 5, beginning in verse number 19. It See, what this fellow's trouble was is, yes, the unclean spirit had gone out of him. But do you know who didn't come in? You know who should have come in when the unclean spirit went out? The Holy Spirit should have come in. Had the Holy Spirit of God come in to that man, that unclean spirit would not have been allowed to come and repossess the man, if you want to say it that way. You see, that's the danger. A lost man, maybe some of you who were saved later in life, maybe you can say amen to this. A lost man may be able to, as he sees it, clean himself up a little. You know, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better husband and wife. And maybe he may make some changes. He may try to do better. But if he doesn't trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, all that he's done is just in the flesh. All that he's done is just to appease himself or somebody else. Maybe get his wife off his back or maybe to be a better employee. But if there's not someone who comes in and replaces the unclean spirit, he's just as vulnerable as he ever was. You see that, folks? The best thing could have happened to this man here is that when that unclean spirit left him, the best thing could have happened, somebody come along and give that man the gospel, and that man trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, and then the Holy Spirit would come in. Then if that unclean spirit came back around, he would see a sign, no entry. This house belongs to the Holy Spirit now. But that wasn't the case. And so if you want to say it this way, this is a principle of replacement. Look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are all things that you want to have cast out. Amen? Those are all wicked things. Every one of those things is a sin that you and I as believers would seek to get victory over, and by the Lord's help, cast those things out. But that's not where the chapter stops, folks. The Lord is not content just by telling you those things that are wrong that you should avoid. If you'll read on, the Lord gives you the things, the good things that you ought to seek to replace those evil things. Keep on reading. Verse 22. But, see, he's connecting what he just said. You have all those evil things in verse 19, verse 20, verse 21. All those evil things. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Did you see the principle of replacement here? Those works of the flesh, those evil things, you want those things to go. But it's not enough if you just get rid of those things. You want to have something to come in and replace those evil things with those good things. You see, you got to have a replacement, folks. Otherwise, there's a vacuum there. I don't know, this probably isn't the best illustration of this, but I had a great uncle one time who determined to quit smoking. And that was a good determination, and you know, I'm proud for him. But he had a little thing he'd do to help him. He'd load up his pockets with toothpicks. And what he said was, for so many years, he had just been used to, by force of habit, reaching in his pocket and getting his cigarette out. You know, he said, when you do that for 25, 30 years, he said, it's just almost like second nature. So when he decided he wanted to quit smoking, he said he found himself continually keep reaching in that pocket. And so he said, I realized I had to put something in the pocket, something that I could pull out, and it wasn't going to be bad. So he said, I just put a pocket full of toothpicks and get a toothpick out, just stick it in my mouth. Nobody else will know what he's doing. We see what he was doing? He wasn't just emptying his pocket of the smokes. He was putting something in their place. Folks, I've lost you. I can tell already. What I'm saying is, if there's things in your life that you know are not pleasing the Lord, it's only half the work if you say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. Help me to get power over this. I want this thing gone. You got to go a little beyond that and say, now, Lord, replace that sin with something that's good. Don't let there be a vacuum there. this unclean spirit, when he left this man, nobody ever came back in to fill that void. Nobody came in to fill that vacuum. So when the unclean spirit came back, he had an open door. He could go right back in. And that man, as the verse tells us, his end was worse than his beginning. So I want to ask you tonight, are there things in your life that displease the Lord? Are you replacing those things with something that would please the Lord? Maybe you spend too much time in front of the television. I don't know. I heard a man say one time that the family circle, what used to be the family circle, is now the family semicircle. You'll get that. It'll come to you tomorrow. Let's say you realize, I'm not thinking of anybody. You got to be careful when you say these things, because somebody inevitably is going to be thinking, he's been looking in my window and he sees how much time I spend watching TV. No, it's just an example. Let's say you realize that you're spending too much of your time there. It's a good thing to say, I'm not going to pollute my mind with that. Watching junk, if there is junk, I don't want to watch that stuff. What would be much better to say, I'm going to let that go and I'm going to replace that time with study of God's Word. See what you've just done there? If you just turn the television off and say, I'm not going to watch that thing anymore, and you just sit there staring at a blank screen, you know what's going to happen to you? It's not a scripture, but it's scriptural. The idle hands are the devil's workshop. So it's not enough just turn the TV off and stare at it. If you put your mind in neutral, guess who's going to fill it? Those fiery darts, the devil's going to come. Amen? So what do you need to do? You need to replace it with something that's good and godly. And you can apply that to anything. I'm praying that you'll ask the Holy Spirit tonight to say, Lord, is there something in my life that's detrimental to my Christian life, things that displease you? If he reveals something, say, Lord, please give me victory to get over this thing, but also, Lord, show me what I can put in place of this thing. You see, you got to have something to fill the void. And this man here in Luke 11 and Matthew 12, when the unclean spirit went out of him, nothing there to replace it. And so when the unclean spirit came back, he said, I see everything swept for me and garnished. And he had a clean house to come back home to. But that was all done in the power of that man, not the Holy Spirit. That's the lesson tonight. Ask the Lord to show you. We don't read any more about this man. Never read where he came to Christ. We know that whatever happened to him, his latter end was worse than his beginning. I always feel sort of a pity for this man. It must have been some work, sweep, clean, garnish the house. Maybe he really thought he was making a change for the better. But his problem was that's as far as he went. And folks, you can give up this and you can give up that, but if the good things don't replace it. You can give up the works of the flesh here, and I hope you are by the power of the Spirit, but God doesn't just want you to say goodbye to the works of the flesh, this list here. God wants you to start doing those fruit of the Spirit. Replacement. So what in your life? Is there a vacuum in your life somewhere? Is there a void somewhere? I want to encourage you, fill it with something good and righteous. Because if you don't, the devil's going to fill it for you. And let's don't let him get the victory. Let's pray together. Lord, and I ask you to take this simple message tonight and help your people, I pray. Lord, maybe there's some here tonight who wasting time maybe in their days. They're not being useful, Lord. This time they could spend praying or witnessing or reading their Bible, Lord. But maybe they're giving their time and energy to other things. I pray you'd show them, Lord, that it's not your will that they just give up those things which are evil, but that they would cling to and practice those things that are good. I want to thank you, Lord, that you have sealed me with your Holy Spirit, and I'm safe and I'm secure. And Lord, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit in me is greater than the unclean spirits in this world. But I pray, Lord, that you never allow my body to be used by the enemy to discourage my brothers and sisters in Christ or to bring dishonor to your name. That's our prayer, Lord. I pray you'd hear us and answer. Let's stand together, folks. I want to plead to you just as sincerely as I can here. If God has put his finger on things that displease him with your life, praise the Lord he showed you that. But then go beyond that and say, all right, Lord, show me what needs to replace this. If you're here and you've never been born again, maybe you've just tried self-reformation. Maybe you've just tried to be a quote unquote better person or better neighbor, better father, better mother. That's not going to be enough. You have no defenses against the devil unless the Holy Spirit lives within you.